On the border along Texas, there are a lot of ranches, of course, and the drug trade is an unfortunate issue, and drug runners come and with their backpacks, and sometimes they unload their drugs on the ranch, and they take off only to pick them up at a later time. And every now and then, the Drug Enforcement Agency agents come on ranch property, and they look over trying to find the drugs. And so this is where this story takes place. This DEA agent goes up to this rancher and drives up to this ranch house, goes up to the rancher, and he says, sir, I'm a Drug Enforcement Agency agent. I'm here to inspect your ranch for drugs. And with that, the rancher says, that's fine, just don't go to the field behind you. Because, and the DEA agent says, now wait now, stop right there. You see this here badge? This here badge has the full backing of the United States government and says that I can go anywhere I want to on this ranch. And with that, the rancher just throws up his hands. Okay, be careful, be safe. He goes about his chores. About 5 minutes later, this rancher hears screaming in the field where he told this drug enforcement agent not to go. And he turns around and he sees his bull chasing this drug enforcement agent across the field. Help, help, he's screaming. To which the rancher yells out in return, your badge, show him your badge. The armor of God. The armor of God. We're talking about the armor of God this morning. God doesn't need any armor, but Paul uses the armor of God as a metaphor of helping us to understand spiritual warfare and how to engage with spiritual warfare. Now, spiritual warfare can get kind of goofy. And there's all kinds of goofy books out there, silly books out there about spiritual warfare. And what I want to do this morning is just simplify it. And then we'll get into the armor. Let me explain spiritual warfare in this little explanation. I'm going to ask you a series of questions. Have you ever felt it difficult in your life to practice your Christian faith? Have you ever felt it difficult to forgive? You ever had a grudge against somebody that you really wrestled with and held that grudge longer than necessary? Ever been tempted? I don't care if it's about brownies or pizza. Ever been tempted about anything that isn't good for us? Good for relationships, good for the community, good at all. Spiritual warfare. Ever refused an opportunity to witness to somebody about the faith? Ever been in a situation where you turn the other way when you had the opportunity to give a word of encouragement, a word of peace to someone else? That's spiritual warfare. That is spiritual warfare. With that, Paul says, the armor of God is so important to use. So, I'm going to go down each of these pieces of armor to try to explain what they mean and how to use them. First of all is the belt of truth. What is the truth? The truth is very simple. Let's keep it simple, right? The truth is God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Verse 17. We forget that one sometimes. For God did not send the son into the world to what? Condemn the world, but so that the world might be saved through him. That is the truth. Another piece of truth is Romans 8. I cannot quote it. It's too long. But I do remember the last verse, which says, nothing can separate us from the love of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. That is the truth. That is the belt of truth. And we hold on to that truth. Then there's the breastplate of righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is doing good. Now, I just don't want to simplify it to doing good. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, has a wonderful explanation of righteousness. The three rules. And the three rules are do no harm, do good, and attend to the ordinances of God. Now, let me explain what the ordinances of God, because that's Old English. Attend to the ordinances of God basically means to stay in love with God. Stay in love with God. We nurture those things that are important to us, right? I don't care if it's quilting or golf or fishing or hunting or any other sport or thing that we'd like to do. We nurture our work. We love to work. There's some people that just love to work, and there's no harm in that. However, nurturing relationships, nurturing those things in our life is so critical to the health of that relationship. And we have a relationship with God. So we nurture our relationship with God in these ways. Worship is one of the ways that we nurture our relationship with God, that we stay in love with God. Studying the Scriptures is another way that we stay in love with God. Fellowship is a way that we stay in love with God. Prayer is a way that we stay in love with God. Okay? Taking communion as often as we can is another way that we stay in love with God. We feed our souls with these elements to stay in love with God. So righteousness is do no harm, do good, and stay in love with God. All right? Those are the important aspects of it. That's what it means to have the breastplate of righteousness. Shoes. As with the Roman kit, as with Roman armor, it's very important to have good shoes. Now, anybody here who plays tennis knows the importance of having good shoes. Right, David Young? You betcha. You got to have good shoes. Any athlete, right? Any person who works on a ranch, right? Went to a chiropractor on Thursday. I notice his shoes. What kind of shoes does he wear, right? What kind of shoes does he wear? Because shoes are important for posture, okay? So, shoes are important for daily living. The shoes are important for us. And the shoes that we wear are for proclaiming the gospel of peace. What is the gospel of peace? The gospel of peace is the good news. The good news that God loves us. The good news is the truth. The good news is God is with us always. That is the good news, that God gives us love that we don't have to earn, that we don't have to work for. It is free for us. That's good news. That is the gospel of peace. Those are the shoes that we wear to take that out. The shield that protects our faith. The other one is the shield, right? The shield that protects our faith from the flaming arrows. The shields that the Romans had in biblical times were covered in leather and were soaked in water before they went out into battle, right? Because the enemy shot flaming arrows. So when they hit the shield, they were extinguished, okay? The shield is to protect our faith and protect our faith from what? Temptation, okay? Temptation. We're tempted. We're tempted. There's a lot of temptations in this world. Pick them. I don't care. Pick your temptation. Everyone is different. We have to have the shield that protects our faith from temptations of this world. The next is a helmet of salvation. Very important to me in my own personal faith walk. The helmet of salvation reminds us that we are saved. Every now and then, I get into this works righteousness thinking that I may not be, which is a lie. There are times when I'll be driving in San Antonio, Houston, Austin, or Dallas, and I'm involved or somebody commits road rage in front of me, and I am tempted to sin. Now, say I do sin. I'm just saying, say I do. Say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, okay? And let's say I die at that moment from committing that sin. Will I go to hell? No. I'm saved by the grace of God. That doesn't mean that we're supposed to live the way we want to. What that means is that we're saved by the grace of God, not by my merit, but by God's grace. The helmet of salvation is the assurance of that salvation, the things of which we cannot see, the things that we hope for. It's called a what kind of assurance? It's a blessed assurance that Jesus is mine and yours. What a sweet thing. The helmet of salvation gives us assurance and gives us confidence. And the thing that we have next is a sword. Out of all the Roman kit there, out of all the armor, the sword is the only offensive weapon. And the sword is the Word of God. The sword is the Word of God. And we learn about God's Word, right? There's a lot of goofy teachings out there. I mean it. There's some really, really goofy, weird, strange, silly teaching out there. One of which, everything happens for a reason. Oh, come on. Come on. There's some things that we have seen in our life that have no reason at all. God didn't do those things to teach us a lesson. No. No. The Word of God equips us with good things, things that empower us, things that nurture us, things that give us hope. The Word of God equips us so that we can take the Word of God with courage and confidence into the world. For God did not give us a spirit of what? Timidity. We're not to be meant to be timid. God gave us a spirit of courage so that we can go out into the world. So spiritual warfare takes place each and every day. When we struggle in our prayer life. I do sometimes. Resisting temptation. I got on a diet. Can you tell? I'm on a diet. No carbs. I got to. And it's working. I feel better, right? Right? I feel better. It's good stuff. To do good, no harm. To stay in love with God. That is spiritual warfare. One of the silly teachings that is out there is that Satan is alive and well on planet Earth and wants to get you. Oh my gosh. Back when I was a teenager, a long time ago in a land far, far away, I read a book by Hal Lindsey entitled Satan is Alive and Well on Planet Earth, and I read that book, and then I went on to a second book, and I realized that I was so far away from attending to God in my life that I was paying more attention to the devil at work in the world. That book is not good. It's not. Any book, any teaching that is out there that distracts us from the truth, that doesn't empower, encourage, embolden us, heal us, nurture us to do good, no harm, and stay in love with Jesus, is poison. It's not good. Is Satan alive and well on the earth? Yes. Through a variety of different ways. But God gives us the power and the ability to overcome and not to pay attention to it. Not to focus on the evil that is in this world, but on the holy that is in this world. So God gives us these spiritual truths. God gives us truth and righteousness and faith and peace and salvation. God gives us the Word of God, and it's all wrapped up in a nice, wonderful package called prayer. Right? The wrapping is prayer that keeps it together. And the first lesson that we need to teach our children is to have a prayer life. Prayer keeps it all together. Now, I know that none of us have ever seen a Roman centurion, right? I've never seen a Roman centurion, maybe in a play or in a movie, but I've never seen a Roman centurion, and I know that you've never actually seen a live, real Roman centurion. I know you have not seen one, right? So I'm thinking about what kind of metaphor of armor that we could apply today to understand these spiritual truths. I'm thinking about the word armor, and I come up with under armor. Like that? No? Sorry. You know, when I first heard of under armor, I was thinking of, you know, chainmail. When it first came out, I said, God, we come back, that's ridiculous. No, under armor is a material that wicks moisture from the body so that an athlete can stay in the game longer. Amen? We want football players, we want athletes, we want tennis players to wear Under Armour clothing. It wicks moisture out of the body so the body can stay cooler and doesn't tax the body. These spiritual truths are designed for us to be faithful longer. And as I was reading the scriptures and wrestling with the scripture this past week, this passage of Ephesians this week, I was thinking, you know, I need an example, right? I need an example. And so I was, of course, thinking armors and thinking of soldiers. And you know, that Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10 passage fits. I read it again. So let's visit this passage briefly. The story goes like this. There was a Roman centurion in Capernaum. Jesus was in Capernaum, and there was this Roman centurion. A Roman centurion is commander over 100 soldiers. He's in Capernaum, and Romans were the ones who nailed Jesus to the cross. Are you with me? So here's a Roman centurion that is benevolent and kind. And what this Roman centurion does is that he builds a house of worship. He builds a synagogue for the Jews in Capernaum. It's amazing. And then what happens is that one of his servants gets sick, gravely ill. And he sends some friends to Jesus. And he tells his friends to say this, I am a commander of soldiers. I tell one to go and he goes. I tell one to come and he comes. And I'm a man of great authority. And I'm not worthy to have you come into my home. And that is the reason why I don't go to you, is that I am not worthy. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. In verse 9, Jesus says this. You ready? Glad you're sitting down. I have not seen such faith in all of Israel as this one Roman centurion. It's amazing to me. That's amazing. This Roman centurion, in terms of doing all those things that we are required to be faithful, he embodied in doing good and having faith and resisting temptation. All this he embodied. We as disciples of Jesus Christ are invited to do these things. We are challenged. We are disciples to go out into this world and engage in spiritual warfare. To forgive. Now, sometimes there are people that we have to forgive and maybe try to forgive 15 minutes later. Or maybe the next day later. That's, you know, forgive and forget is not in the scriptures. The only person who can forgive and forget is God. You know, forgive and forget is something that we're to practice on a daily basis. Prayer. Witnessing our faith by being an encourager or communicating the faith in a way that helps people understand God's presence in our life. Standing up for justice. Praying for peace. Loving one another. If we wrestle with any of these dynamics of faith, then we are engaged in spiritual warfare. The beautiful thing about all this is that Christ already won the victory for us on the cross. And what we try to do is fulfill it by practicing our faith and a life of prayer with one another. I leave you this final thought. We're not meant to go at it alone. Roman soldiers did not fight by themselves. They fought as a group. They fought as a unit. If at any time we feel that we're struggling with any of these elements in spiritual warfare, call a friend. Call me. Call a church member. Call. May it be so in your life as we are faithful. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.